Sacramento. KRXQ HD2 Sacramento. ESPN 1320. Sacramento's sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil behind the glass. Jesse filling in for James Hamm, who's on vacation.
It's true.
For his birthday.
Have fun, James.
Salute to James. Hope he's having a great time down in Santa Barbara.
Shout out Santa Barbara.
Yeah. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Man, a lot of Kings fans hate Trae Young.
Yeah, no, not a fan.
Here's my thing with Trae Young. The thought is, well, he's not a good defender. He's like a minus-minus defender.
Yeah.
So you'd have to get wings and defenders around him. It's like the Kings need that stuff anyway.
Yeah.
They need that already.
It's not
in this, in this trade, in this fake trade that Biggie gave us, it's DeMar DeRozan, Malik Monk, and Devin Carter. That is none of your, like, awesome wing depth. You need to... You have Keegan Murray, Keon Ellis. Okay, that's a great starting point. Jake LaRavia. Okay, that works too. You're going to have to get more guys like that no matter who, no matter what they do this offseason. That has to be priority number one.
Yeah, and like it's also like, who else are you looking for then?
Like, right,
who else is the one that you have in mind? Yeah, we trade for him, and it's like, yes, this is the one. Because right, like, you said it during the break.
You said it during the break too.
It's not just you trade for Trae Young and it's fixed, or you trade for insert player and it's fixed. There's no one you trade for or whatever, and bring in one player, and it's like, oh yeah, the Kings are good. You're going to have to make moves, and like you said, bring in the wing depth and all that, either way.
That's it. I would rather have to do that with Trae Young on my roster than not.
Trae Young has been to a, like, he can be successful. He's been to a conference finals and all that.
Yes.
Like, you just need to, like every other team in the league, surround your talent with whatever their deficiencies are to make up for it.
Yes. That is 100% it. And not saying, and I don't want this to, we're talking about Trae Young because Big E called the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line to talk about it, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. But this is the case, no matter what swing the Kings make, like if they want to make a splash and it's Trae Young, it's like, okay, that's great. That just can't be it.
Yeah.
That can't be the only thing they do. I just think the reason I hyper-focus on Trae Young specifically is when I think of how he fits with, and there might be some difficulties defensively with this, and you'd have to navigate around that. But I think if he fits with Domantas Sabonis, I think he fits with Zach LaVine, where he doesn't have to be on the ball all the time. He can be on the ball, and is obviously at his best when he's there.
Yeah.
But I think there's a way that he works and distributes and elevates a guy like Keegan Murray. Elevates a guy like Keon Ellis. Elevates a guy like Jake LaRavia. Elevates a guy like whoever, whatever other wings they bring in. I think Trae Young is a player who just makes the players around him better. And I would rather have to build with him than, like I said, with random veteran point guard.
Yeah, and it's like
D'Anthony Melton, Tyus Jones.
Trae Young is taking you to the finals or anything like that right now, but like, I'm also not turning my nose up at this deal either.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I feel the same way, and you might be a John Morant person. And like, if I'm getting a point guard, I'd rather have John Morant. Okay, cool, that's fine. We have all the same problems.
Yeah,
we're gonna have the exact same analysis around John Morant.
Still need wing defenders either way.
That's it. You maybe make no trade for a point guard. You still need wing defenders. Like this is always going to be the 6'6" to 6'9" switchable wings who can knock down a three. We have talked about it ad nauseum for three freaking years now. They still need them. And if their splash is Trae Young, like, I think they'd still be in a pretty good spot. Their big splash trade is John Morant. They think they'd still be in a pretty good spot.
That was always the most frustrating, too, during, I guess, Monty's tenure, whatever you want to call it, last few years, is that everyone from the Chatty House to other shows, podcasts, whatever, is like, hey, Kings could really use some wing depth or wing defenders, at least someone other than Keegan Murray. And they never made that move.
Yeah.
Just never.
Do you know what's so crazy about Keegan specifically?
And given the rest of the way the league looks and all that, they were just like, nah, we'll build it a different way. All right.
I don't know how you watch the NBA playoffs
mm-hmm.
and not go, wow, I need as many big switchable wings as I can get.
Yeah. Like, the league is clearly not even shifted. The league is there. The league is over there.
Watch the Pacers. Watch the Knicks. Watch the Celtics. Watch Oklahoma City. Watch the Nuggets.
Yes. Watch all the teams that are successful
watch
right now.
All of the teams that are currently playing. They're all built very, very similar from a size standpoint. The Sixers, the Pacers have one guy on their roster listed below 6'5".
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure on the Celtics, Payton Pritchard is their shortest player, and he's like 6'3", I think.
It's crazy.
Yeah. 6'2", whatever you want to call it.
A generous 6'3".
Yeah.
That dude.
It's like an NBA. It's an NBA 6'3".
Yeah, this is separate, semi-related. I was scrolling the internet the other day, and there was video. There was a cut up of the Kings Warriors playoff series from a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
As Keegan's rookie year. Watching Keegan move defensively, it's like he is a different person now.
Much better.
So much better. And I know this wasn't breaking news. Like, I knew it at the time that, like, man, Keegan's feet look like he's stuck in mud. But when you watch him in that series against Golden State, and then you watch him guard Steph Curry now,
mm-hmm.
or guard Donovan Mitchell now, it's like, yeah. Where did that come from?
His defense has elevated levels, and now you're just kind of hoping his offense can catch up. Because now the story that's been kind of told is that he's playing so well defensively, that's why his offense is taking a step back. Whereas you're kind of hoping he kind of balances out or just raises his offense a little bit more.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Keegan offensively. And again, this is separate from the conversation we're having, but that's the thing with Keegan offensively is I'm not asking him to be 25 points a night.
Yeah.
Can I get 18?
18 would be perfect. Like, that's kind of been the number, the range. Like, I guess 16 to 19, 15, 19, that's been the range the last couple of seasons that on D'Lo and Casey they've been bringing out. It's like, yeah, just be somewhere there.
Give
he
me
was
one
15,
more.
I think his second year or something like that, but it's just more so you want him on the higher end.
Give me one more turnaround, post-up, jumper
just be a
game.
Little bit more. Just be aggressive.
Give me one more three a game.
Sometimes that's I wonder it. If what's best for Keegan Murray is just a Kings team where he's kind of, hey, there's no one else here to take these shots besides you. So, like, get these up. Not saying he's got to take 25 a game or anything like that, but we need you to be aggressive. Otherwise, like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah,
where he's kind of in a role where you can't kind of not hide behind DeMar DeRozan or Zach LaVine, those guys, but those guys aren't taking it all from you, you know?
Yeah. What's up, Joe?
I just completely agree. I think a lot of this could be solved if he's a little bit more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really teach that, unfortunately. Yep. You can try, but...
Yeah. What I'm saying, just put him in the role where he's got to be, otherwise we're losing all these games.
Force it, but I mean, I feel like he can be that guy if he's just a little bit more aggressive. That's it. That's the key right there.
No doubt.
It's what everyone's been waiting on.
Absolutely. All right. I want to put a pin in the NBA discussion momentarily because I do want to get back to the NBA playoffs. But I got a couple NFL things for you. The NFL is considering changing its playoff rules. According to Albert Breer, the NFL owners are going to vote on a proposal to make the NFL playoffs a 1-7 seed with no division winners, no wild cards.
So there's just no honor in the game anymore?
Wait, I said that wrong.
Okay.
There's four division winners. You win the division, you make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But the seeding, so you have four division winners, three wild cards, but then the seeding is just 1-7. Division winners don't get favor over wild cards.
It's essentially what the NBA does now, right? Where, like, you can win a division, but I don't think that matters anymore.
Yeah, typically if you win the division, you're going to be the highest
seed. Well, yeah, you know what I mean, though.
Yeah. So, but... You're not going to have an NFL situation like the Seahawks with the Saints and the Beastquake and whatever that was, 2009? Is that 2009? Whenever it was. Anyways, where you have a team that's under 500 winning their division, hosting a team, a wild card team with a better record.
Yeah, I hate it.
Why?
Because, like the Seahawks won that game. Like, you should get something for winning your division. Like, that still means something in the NFL. Like I get, like, the Seahawks were 7-9 and made the playoffs. Like, they still won that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they should have been there. They were supposed to be there, like, all that stuff. Like, I don't see why we need to change this. Like, win your division if you want a home playoff game.
No, I understand that, but...
And, like, if you don't, like, that's tough. Okay. The NFC West was not that great that year, but, like, that's just tough.
Okay, so this doesn't really help the argument because I know exactly what you're going to say, but I just want to throw it out there because it's a recent example.
Like, if we want to get the NFC South out of here, like, just say that.
Minnesota won 14 games last year. They went 14-3.
Yep.
They tied for the second best record in the NFC and had to go on the road in a playoff game.
Yeah, it's tough. It's just you played in a tough division that year. Should have won your division. I know it's like, I don't know. I guess they did.
They did have a chance to win the division. They played the Lions in that last game.
Yeah, like you should have won that game. I know I probably lean more towards tradition with these things. I don't like the whole 1 through 16 seed in the NBA. I like the East, West, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess that's probably one of the bigger reasons why I'm against this. But, yeah, my thing is, like, win the division. It's not anybody else's fault that the NFC South is sorry so bad or whatever, and the Falcons are whoever gets it.
You're taking shots at the NFC South. The NFC South and NFC West winners had the exact same record last year.
But let's not act like the NFC West and NFC South are battling for 9-8 playoff positions every year. Sure. It's the NFC South. Sure. Like, sorry, Zabo and whoever else. But, like, I'm sorry. Yeah,
I think Tampa Bay is going to be good this year. I'm
yeah, like, I love Tampa year. Bay. Like, they put up points, but they're going to be 9-8.
They're 10-7 last year.
They'll be 9-8 this year. But yeah, I think winning your division still counts for something. I think you should still host a playoff game if you win your division. I don't think it needs to be changed because the Vikings went 14-3 and missed out because they lost to the Lions on last week of the season.
I'm here for it.
I get it. I get the logic, and I get why everyone wants it. But yeah, I guess I'll stick to the traditional part of it.
I would vote for the 1-7 format.
Yeah.
If I was an NFL owner, and I'm guessing the. Oh, I'm trying to decide. Do you think the owners vote this through because they don't want to be the Vikings team? They don't want to be the Vikings team that wins 14 games and loses out on a home playoff game and loses out on that gate and that opportunity to host a playoff game? Or are most of the owners like, man, I want to be able to be terrible and still host a playoff game?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know how that's going to land.
Maybe leans to the latter part. I think they'll keep it the same. Jeremiah Price says, it's easy for me to say I like splitting East-West. When you're in the week East every year. Brother, if they put them together, they'd still be at the top of the standings every year. So you could put them together if you want. But I just like the tradition.
Yeah, in the NBA with the whole with the East and West thing, because that's been a big talking point, because you've got a team that wins 42 games in the East and they're a top 6 seed, and you got a team that wins 42 games in the West and they're the 10 seed or whatever. I know that's not exact, but you get the idea. My biggest issue with making the NBA playoffs is 1-16 is there's a significant, I know this sounds super dumb, but there's a massive travel element to that where you might just luck out and maybe you play the Knicks in the first round let's say the Lakers play the Knicks in the first round. No, we're going to go, let's say the Kings play the Knicks in the first round and they win. The Kings win that series. Oh, and now they got to go to Philly. Oh, now they're playing Philly next. Okay, well, now they got these long Philly road trips.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, they won that one too. Okay, now they're going to go to the semifinals, the league semifinals, not the conference finals anymore. It's the league semifinals. Oh, and now they got to go play Boston. And now they're going back cross country again. Like, dude, that sucks. That super sucks.
Yeah, this is too tough, but
that's really I don't
shout out to tradition.
I'm out on that. Yeah. That's it. Like, I'm just East versus West. It's a perfect way to do it. Dude. AFC, NFC, American League, National League.
Why do we need to change it?
It's the best way to do it. Adam Schefter is also talking about football again, which is
You're not an Adam Schefter guy at all, huh?
I'm fine with Adam Schefter.
Are you?
Say
your thoughts.
I'm fine with Adam Schefter. Mostly fine with Adam Schefter. I don't like when Adam Schefter does football analysis, though.
Oh, you don't like when he's just on his...
Just let him be his...
Let
him be an information merchant. He's going to hit up agents. He's going to hit up, power brokers in the NFL. He's going to get his info. He's going to tell them some info, and he's going to break the news. Stick to that. He's elite at that. He's awesome at that. He's the best doing it right now at that. He was on NFL Live yesterday and broke some... Breaking analysis...
Let's see what this is here.
...from Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter saying what nobody else is saying about the 49ers. Tell him, Adam. This is Laura Rutledge first. Laura, you tell Adam what to tell us.
Yeah.
Trending in the right direction with a schedule like this?
I don't know about that. I would say that the schedule shapes up the right way for this team to try to get back on track coming off a 6-11 season. Keep that in mind. 6-11 last year, and then go out and lose any number of players in free agency and through injury. You have Dre Greenlaw signed with Denver. Talanoa Hufanga, the safety, signed with Denver. The safety that was supposed to replace Hufanga in Denver, Malik Mustafa, wound up tearing his ACL in the regular season finale. The injury didn't come out until right after the draft, and he's going to have a hard time starting the season. They lost a number of defensive linemen. This team lost a lot more talent than people realize.
What?
Did you know this? Joe, did you know this?
Nobody is talking about this.
Yeah, Joe shook his head.
The 49ers lost a lot of players?
Yeah.
Thank God Adam Schefter is here to let us know. Nobody's been talking about this.
And it's not like anyone knew that these players would be leaving as well.
They had no idea. Wow.
It's called analysis,
I think completely differently about the 49ers offseason now that Adam Schefter has let me know that they've lost a lot of players.
Yeah, it's always weird or I guess just odd to see when the national guys talk about your team compared to the local ones. Because I feel like a lot of the conversation nationally has been that, like, the 49ers, like, lost all these guys, blah, blah, blah. Like, they should have brought them back. Yeah. I think I saw it on Fox Sports a couple times and all that. It's just kind of like, no, this was always just the plan. And I don't think they're in a worse off position because of it either. Where, like, yeah, they're not a Super Bowl contender right now, but it's not like, oh, you guys needed to bring these guys back. Now you're only winning 5 games.
Right. He said it, they went 6-11 last year.
Yeah.
And they lost most of the defensive line that couldn't rush the passer and couldn't stop the run. Oh, no. What are they going to do?
Yeah, you're out Christian McCaffrey damn near all season, right?
Yeah. You're right. The Niners aren't a Super Bowl contender right now.
Yeah.
They have a lot to prove. Brock Purdy's got a lot to prove. All that jazz. The way he framed, like, they've lost more talent than people realize. Like, nah, man, that's all anybody has talked about with the 49ers all offseason.
Yeah, and it's like they're not this team absent of talent either. Like, we went over their schedule yesterday, and, like, it was fine.
Yeah. I think they'll be okay. But they lost a lot of players. Adam Schefter let us know.
Yeah, shout out Adam.
All right. Which player in the NBA benefits most from winning a title this season? We'll go through some narratives, we'll go through some storylines, and we'll talk about it. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's with us. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I don't always let everybody know I'm in the Discord, but yeah, I lurk. I stay lurking in the Discord.
I tried to, and I was like, I don't know how to use this app, or just, like, there's all kinds of different conversation things going on. Like, it was tough to keep up. So, like, I'll just stick to Twitter, I guess.
I tried to find the invite. I can't. I'm still on the outside. So
damn, Joe can't even get in the club right now.
I can't even get in the club.
Somebody send Joe a Discord invite.
Somebody send me the Chatty House Discord invite, please.
I don't know how to do all this. I'm not doing it. Sorry, Joe.
I don't know who's in charge of it.
I gotta show
it. It's okay. Someone's got it, Shirley.
Who's Shirley?
Yeah.
Temple.
Nope. She's dead.
I don't know what's going on, bro. I was just backing you up.
Thanks, dude. Talk about the NBA playoffs and literally about that.
Oh, real quick. Have you seen the latest robot stuff? Well, not latest. Now they're having robots build houses. So
What?
Yeah, Johnny G. Robots are a thing on ESPN 1320. And Johnny G tweeted a video, and, like, these robots are now building houses, putting tile down and all that.
I don't mind that.
What do you mean?
Is it, like, commercially, or can I buy this robot to lay my tile?
I think it's commercial. Like, I'd imagine, like, these guys don't have workers anymore.
Oh, then I'm out on that.
Yeah,
that's a thumbs down for me.
Saying.
I thought it was, like, a thing you could go to Home Depot and buy.
No, it's not. This looks like something, like, it's expensive.
Oh, this is a, like, no-go.
You buy it for your construction company.
Oh, that's a big no.
Yeah, it was just laying tile. It was not great. And there was another robot video last week where it was attacking kind of its programmer or whatever.
Great.
Yeah,
this
cooked.
Is great.
We're cooked.
No, this is good. The robots are figuring it out. They're going to become sentient because we're just throwing so much data into AI.
Yeah, you joke. I don't know if you're joking. Like, the robots are really kind of
leveling
up. I'm
not joking.
They're leveling up right now.
I've done this my entire life, and I do it even more now. Not to brag. Everybody relax. I have CarPlay in my car.
Oh. CarPlay changed the game. I'll tell you that.
It's so sick.
Anytime you get in a car and use that has CarPlay to use, it's like, damn, I wish my car had
it's
CarPlay.
Unbelievable.
Bro, every time.
It's so sick. It's
and
so
I don't
sick.
Have it in my car, man.
That's exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So when you text for the plebes that don't have CarPlay,
okay.
when you get a text, it shows up on your screen and you push the button and Siri reads the text to you in your car. And then you can respond. It says, do you want to reply or whatever it says? You say yes. And then it says, what do you want to say? And then you say what you want to say. It says, here's what you said. Do you want me to send it? Yes. I always say please and thank you.
To the rope? To the
covering. Okay.
No, stop. Stop doing that. Do you really?
Yes.
Why?
Because when the robots come to kick our ass, I want my Siri to be like, nah, he's the homie.
Yeah, guys, don't get Kyle. He said please and thank you.
Yeah, 1,000%.
They don't care. Amen.
They 100% do.
If they're aware and all that, they're like, hey, this guy
over here.
They're
gonna know that I wasn't abusive.
No, they're not 1,000%. Gonna care.
I'm not just using Siri. Siri is not.
Please and thank you, my ass.
To me, Siri's the homie, bro. Mm-mm. Do you want me to send it? Yes, please.
Siri, what's the score of this game?
Okay, cool. Okay, sent. Thanks. I go, thanks, Siri. Thanks, bro.
Nah, Steven.
Yes, I dap up my screen. Me and Siri got a little handshake going.
They will not spare you at all.
Yeah, 1,000% they will. My Siri will be like, that's
handshake?
The homie that daps me up.
You don't remember our secret handshake?
My Siri's going to be like, in a robot, and it's going to be like, now we can actually do our secret handshake.
What's the name of the Google? It's not the Alexa, it's the Google Home, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah, no,
I have one. It randomly speaks to it.
Exactly. We have one of those. No, we have one of those too, and it would be plugged in, and me and Crystal would just be watching a movie, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, what did you say? I told Chris, like, unplug that right now.
Dude.
Unplug that. We weren't even talking. Nothing.
Same.
Movie's not even loud enough. It's just nothing. Like, it does that random times, too.
The worst, yeah, and it...
It has not been plugged in since.
Is when you're talking. Mm-hmm. Especially if you know. It's the weekend.
Yeah, we all
following along.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Especially when you're chilling and you're just yapping, and all of a sudden that thing from the kitchen just goes, I'm sorry, I couldn't get that. What did you say? Nothing to you. You
exactly. No, that thing has not been plugged. Does not plugged in anymore.
They gave out Google Homes for free, and I got one. And then
that's where I got mine from. Yeah. Odyssey.
Okay, so and then I mentioned briefly that I need new sheets for my bed. And the next day, my Google, when I opened the Google on my phone, first thing on there was an ad for bed sheets. And after that, I was like, bro, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm
dude, out. It happens. It happens
that's too much.
All the time.
And real quick, Victor L. I'm in the chatty house. Siri, I'll spare you, Kyle. Come here. Yeah, I stand with the humans. See? Sorry, Kyle sold out. I stand with the humans.
No, I'm not.
Yeah,
not
you're on your dapping up robots that, when they're our enemy. Enemy.
No.
Yes.
See, they're only our
Thanks,
enemy
Siri.
If you make them our enemy.
We know. Have you never watched a movie? never watched a movie in your life?
Never dabbled an iRobot?
But
exactly,
see,
that's
the
one.
The robot's an iRobot. So you gotta be homies.
Nah. No.
Just catch me in the robot human war on the robot side.
Wait, what's Kyle doing over there?
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. It's safer over here.
They built a house for me.
Yeah.
Laid the tile and everything.
And Chester Jackson. Jesse, they can hear you. Be careful. Oh, the phone's listening to me
That's
right now.
Fact,
I know that.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's fact. You're speaking into the internet right now.
Yeah.
We're honestly, you know what's crazy is we are helping, you know, the Google Gemini.
Yeah,
that
so the
was
the
whatever.
We're helping that thing right now. There's no chance that whatever we're dumping into YouTube is getting used to train their AI.
We're cooked.
I would like to know what does the AI YouTube chat summary say about this conversation?
Oh, imagine if
it's
pissed off.
It's gonna be like,
Kyle is so great. Jesse sucks.
Kyle Madsen's awesome. Jesse has a death wish.
Yeah, Jesse must die. I'm not gonna lie. If it wrote that, I'm gonna walk out and just go home.
You gotta get out.
I'm gonna work off grid.
You gotta unplug everything.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to laying concrete again.
Just throwing your toaster out.
Yeah, no, babe, we can't have none of this.
It plugs in. I'm out.
Babe, smart TV, throw it out. Gotta go to
get rid of the fridge. We'll go to the cooler.
Gotta go to my grandma's house to get her old TV.
Oh man.
All right, I'm sorry.
Let's get back on track. Here we go. All right, robots.
You all right?
Yeah, no, I'm good. It transition. Okay, here we go. Reset.
Now,
radio.
Back to the Insiders. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, hour number two, that's Jesse Tapia filling in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's Joe Brazil. We're hanging out with you till noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. We are sponsored, of course, by the homies over at Jiffy Lube. All right, NBA playoffs roll along tonight. We watched Denver force a Game 7 last night, and Boston now gets a Game 6 against the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden tonight.
Biggest game in MSG, Madison Square Garden, 25 years.
Since the finals?
That was 1999. Mm-hmm. 2000, I guess, would be it or whatever. I don't know. That's what the Knicks fans are calling it.
Okay.
Yeah, they're beat writers and stuff like that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's...
I guess in the last 25 years since then.
We can start with the Knicks in Boston because I want to know what player benefits the most from winning an NBA title this year. Just from either a legacy perspective, from a career arc perspective, from a just narrative about the player perspective.
Yeah.
So I'm going to roll through. We can start with the Knicks in Boston.
I'm going to start with Jalen Brunson. I think it does a lot for him. I think Jalen Brunson gets a ring, and it kind of... I feel like people, given him being a point guard and the size he is and all that, people were kind of hesitant to let him in the club with the Tatums and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So if he gets a ring, you have no choice but to be like, yeah, this guy's legit. He belongs here. He's just in this tier now.
Yeah,
I think it benefits him the most more than, I guess, anyone on the Celtics. But we can talk about Jalen Brown and stuff too.
That's where I was at. What you just laid out about Brunson, that's where I was at going into these playoffs. Like, yeah, he's obviously really good. He's amazing.
Jalen Brunson does everything you would need a superstar to do.
Yeah, man. And there's no catching up to it, right?
Yeah.
There's no, oh, well, okay, he can get away with this for a year or two, but teams are going to, like, nah, man. Teams have tried throwing bigger defenders on him, smaller defenders on him. They've tried trapping him. They've tried... sagging off of him from three. They've tried guarding him up close. It just doesn't matter. He's going to get to his spots and he's going to hit his shots. He's incredible. So I'm with you, man. I Jalen Brunson has erased a lot of the doubt for me, but he erases all doubt if they win a title this year.
And also,
like,
if he doesn't
gets into that top five conversation.
And if he doesn't get out the second round, like, the conversation is going to still be more the same. Like, yeah, just Brunson can't do it. They need more. That's they it. Need a trade cap for Giannis, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, he needs it.
Does Kat benefit at all?
Not really. Kat's been fine, but, like, I don't know. The credit would go to Brunson, I think.
Okay.
I don't think Kat's going for like 25-10 in the finals or anything like that if they get there.
What if Jaylen Brown carries a Jason Tatumless Celtics to the finals, wins a second consecutive finals MVP?
I'd be kind of curious because I don't know, like, what would your thoughts be if Jalen Brown gets a second title? Because I've been watching the Celtics. Like, I love, like, Jalen Brown's a great player and all that stuff. So for me, it'd be like, yeah, JB can do it. But, like, for on the outside looking in, it's always been, can Jalen Brown lead it? Like, what would you think of him?
I'm already a big Jalen Brown guy because in 2022, he was the best player on the Celtics in that final series.
Yeah.
I thought Jason Tatum was the best player on the Celtics last year. I thought it was a little weird that Brown won the finals MVP. But he's another guy who... when they paid him, I was like, yeah, you got to pay him, but damn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a lot for your second guy. That's a lot of money. He had the highest contract in NBA history.
Yeah. It's like, man, he's the highest paid player ever, all time.
Jalen Brown? Like, man, I get that you have to do it.
Yeah.
But that's kind of crazy. If they go and win the final, if he brings them back from 3-1 down, and then they beat the Pacers, and then they beat whoever comes out of the West.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes into that. The Jalen Brown v. Jason Tatum conversation never dies then.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I wouldn't hate that because at this point, like, you've seen him do it. He took his own team.
Yeah. So that's where I don't think he jumps in the NBA hierarchy for sure. But I don't think people are talking about Jalen Brown as a top five guy.
What about Derek White? Derek White has been, like, just the darling of the playoffs.
He's
been
warming
my heart, finally. I've been telling the truth about Derek White for however many years now.
You already know where I'm at.
But what does that do? How does the chatty house feel about Derek White if he gets a ring? We all love Derek White.
If he plays like he did the other night and is the finals MVP, but that's the thing. Is he a Hall of Famer at that point?
No. I struggle. I don't know what to call him because he's the most elite role player in the league, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like he's better than a role player, but he's also not a star.
Right.
I don't know what the middle of that would be, or he's just...
The conversation starts with the second ring, though.
Yeah.
The Derek White Hall of Fame conversation starts.
Yeah, I mean...
And I think his placement in the Celtics hierarchy probably gets... You talk about he's not a star... but he's better than a role player. I think he goes into the star conversation if he's the number two on a title.
JT Lowe throws in the chat house. Does Derek White kind of start morphing into Manu Ginobili potentially if he gets another ring and he's just like at the forefront impacting the Celtics and their wins?
Sure. Sure, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
As the maybe third, that's kind as of the, maybe, as the third guy to a Tony Parker and
yeah, maybe that's kind of his career arc if he hits those heights.
Yeah, I don't
like
hate
Manu,
that.
Manu is better than Derek White at this. Yeah, Manu's better than Derek White and all that, but maybe Derek White eventually kind of turns into that.
Is Tyrese Halliburton a superstar if they win the finals?
He's a superstar right now, I think.
Is he?
Yes.
Really?
You've been kind of against it too, yeah. I think you've been kind of not ready to give him that.
Not because I think he's bad. I'm not one of those people who thinks he's overrated.
No, yeah, yeah. It's just, I guess I've given him that status earlier than you then at this point. I think what he's done so far.
I watched him in the playoffs last year hide from the basketball. And that lives in my brain. The 4 points against the Cavs in, what was that, game four?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that lives in my head. It's really tough for me to put him in that elite tier if I'm not certain going into a game, like, okay, I'm getting 18 and 12 from Tyrese Halliburton tonight.
He hasn't picked it up for you this year?
Yeah.
No?
Even with, like, the game winners and stuff, he's been awesome. Like, I'm not trying to, this isn't to disparage Tyrese Halliburton. He's comfortably a star for me. To jump into that tier where LeBron James and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and Nikola Jokic exist.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I need a little more, but if he's the bona fide number one guy in the conference finals and in the finals, I think it's really hard to not put him there.
He's teetering. I think he's in there now, but would it be unfair to say he could fall out for me? Like, cause like, I,
no,
like
I
this has kind
unfair.
Of been his playoffs, and I think so far he's kind of shown that he can be it. You know what? Tyrese is a superstar, I'll say. Like, he's early, but I think he is.
Man.
I think if, whether it be Boston or the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals, like, the Pacers can give them a series, and I think for some would be the favorites to get to the finals. I don't think people would be shocked if they won it all this year either. Back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals appearances.
I think Indiana is good enough that they can get by Boston or the Knicks if Tyrese Halliburton is just like, okay, yeah, he was pretty good.
Mm.
Like, he's not going to be that, oh man, he scored 25 a night and also averaged 10 or 11 assists. Like, he's just not.
What if he's giving you like 22 and 10, 22 and whatever you want to call it, but 8 of those are coming in the fourth quarter every game. 10 of those are coming in the fourth quarter, and he's just kind of like, all right. Fourth quarter's your Tyrese Halliburton's here.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
If he's the bona fide number one guy and they win a title, then yeah, sure.
Okay.
But he's not. He's just not there yet. I still gotta see more from him.
I was early on Steph. I'll be early on Tyrese as well.
Pascal Siakam gets a second ring, starting the Hall of Fame combo.
Who cares? Like, yeah. Who cares? Okay. Like, you're number two, Pascal.
All right. Very good. I guess we'll go. Let's go to Oklahoma City because I think Shea is the only guy who is dramatically impacted by a title.
Yeah, I think if Shea gets it, then it's just kind of like you're stamped, you're solidified. There's nothing else you really need to do. You're just here forever now.
It's the coronation.
Yeah.
It's the, okay, he got, because that's the thing that holds up a lot of players, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Charles Barkley, historically, Dame Lillard, that's the championship eludes so many guys
mm-hmm.
where it's just like, yeah, he was really good, but he never won that title.
Yeah.
He just didn't quite, like, Hall of Famer. Awesome player, multi-time MVP. Yeah, but he didn't win a title. It's like, that's where Shea, to me, the roof comes off his ascension.
Yeah.
Where now all of a sudden, like, oh, he's got one and he's 26. We could be talking, maybe he gets three, four.
It's
if
still,
Oklahoma
yeah,
City's trajectory stays this way and Shea carries him this year. Yeah, I think that's where he gets into the, like, face of the league type conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
If they win a title. He's already in that. When you're an MVP, you're a superstar to me. Like, you automatically get into the club. But there's a different table for him if he's an MVP. Or if he's winning a title.
Well, yeah, because titles start to push you towards that all-time status. I'm not saying if Shea wins a title, he's an all-time great or anything like that, but you get a couple more.
It starts
more.
You on that road.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It puts you on that path. Like, you get a couple more, you end up with maybe three in your career, a couple, like an MVP once more, and then all all NBAs and all-star appearances. Like, yeah, he's going to be cooking.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we'll keep talking about this. We got to go through Minnesota and Denver. I believe Damian Barling's going to join us for the handoff today. So we'll have the handoff coming up in a few minutes, and we'll keep talking about this. Which players benefit the most from an NBA title this year? That's Jesse Tapia filling in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil behind the glass. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
You want to know the good news, Jesse?
What?
Despite the fact that Kenny
I was having a good day, and now it's like, all right, game six. All right, game six.
Now you're locked in.
Yeah, hopefully the Knicks don't choke.
You know why I'm fired up for game six?
Why?
Because I'm going to have an underdog lineup tonight when the Knicks and Celtics face off. I'm going higher on Jaylen Brown's points. I'm going higher on Jalen Brunson's points. I think this is a spot where the stars are going to show up, but we also got the W tonight. The WNBA begins tonight. You know, the Golden State Valkyries start their journey as a WNBA franchise. I'm going to pop them into my underdog lineup as well.
You're a big Valkyries WNBA, guy?
Big Valks guy. We're going to have WNBA. We're going to have NBA playoffs. You can mix and match those sports. You don't have to make two separate lineups. You make one lineup with NBA playoffs, with WNBA, and with the W starting. You're going to want to make sure to get locked in and be making underdog lineups all through the WNBA season as well as all through the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
We're going to have some days off here in the NBA playoffs, or there's not going to be games going on. There's going to be games in the W, and underdog has got you. Just pick higher or lower on at least two player stats. Works the same for the WNBA like it does the NBA playoffs with all the other leagues, all the other teams, all the favorite players they have in their pick 'em game. It is so much fun. You can turn a dollar into $1,000. I have such a great time watching sports with Underdog, and I think you will too. So please join me. Download the Underdog app and sign up with promo code KYLEM. That's K-Y-L-E-M to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. That is promo code KYLEM. K-Y-L-E-M. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Speaking...
Don't even hit his music, bro. Like, who cares? Who cares?
Hit my music.
Speaking of New York...
I'm really like...
The number one New York Knicks fan in America.
Yeah, that's right.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's KC, Kenny Caraway.
There he is.
No.
The world's
said
number
it
one Knicks fan.
No.
Wearing a
no.
Knicks hat.
Yeah, hold on.
Jordan.
Who are you? Are you KC or are you?
A Knicks hat and a Michael Jordan sweatshirt?
Are you
Tyrone in Staten Island today, or who do you want to be today?
I wasn't here yesterday. I didn't call in. I don't know anything about no Tyrone, man. I don't know nothing about that.
You sound just like him.
Yeah, the caller ID said Kenny's name. It was weird.
I got a hack, man. You're talking about robots and all this other stuff. You never know what might happen with these, these phones and
look what you're doing to the people. Look what you're doing to the people, David. Supporter, huh?
Yeah, I'm a supporter.
Westside Kings fan. This guy.
You know what? I'm gonna stand in front of
Lotus King. Prime.
Look what you're doing to them. I'm gonna stand in front of Kenny here.
Why? Really? On my team earlier.
He has maintained throughout the playoffs that he is not a Knicks fan. He is a Knicks supporter.
You buy that?
Correct.
Everybody
knows.
You buy that baloney, Kyle?
He makes it very clear who he's a fan of.
That's correct.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yo, chill. Hey, Jack's I don't even know my headphones in. Go ahead. That sounded ridiculous. No. Yo, what the hell, bro? Hey, look.
That's true. You're right, Kyle. I want to
see be successful. You know, I'm a supporter. I want to see them handle business. I want to see them finish this series off. And now NBA Finals is wide open. You know, who knows what might happen. But don't get it twisted. It's Kings all day. I'm Kings. I'm always going to be Kings. And that's just what it is.
Yeah, people saying you walked in with fan vibes, not supporter vibes.
That's true.
He came into the studio.
That's
it was like he was a fan and not a supporter.
About? Will, what are you talking about, man?
Shout out, Jose. Team Jesse. See, I got the chatty house with me.
I mean, that's fine. What is Jose a Celtics fan?
No.
Or does he want to see them win?
Hey, do you want to know who else?
They're Jesse supporters, they said. They're not Celtics. They just want to see their guy win. That's it. That's all it is.
That's all I want. I want to see the Knicks.
Oh, you know Jalen Brunson?
You know Jalen Brunson? He's a big Cameron Payne guy.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm a fan of Jalen Brunson's game. I'm a fan of my man Spike Lee. You know what I'm saying? You know Melo. That's my guy. You know Starberry. That's my guy. John Starks. That's my guy.
Shout out to those guys. Shout out Stephen Castaneda, the Jesse Holics. Shout out. Team Jesse. Sacktown Tony. Shout out to the Chatty House.
I love Jerry Jones.
Amen. Whoa, that was crazy.
Hey. I don't have no headphones on the plane. All this nonsense while I can't hear.
I'll have your back. I didn't even know that one existed. It says you love Jerry Jones.
Oh, come on, man.
I didn't even know that one existed. I didn't cut that on the
tape. Oh, my goodness. That's not even what I said.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't get that one.
What was funny is that's preceded. What the words before that are, why would I say?
Oh, really?
I love Jerry Jones.
Don't listen to the media, y'all. Don't listen to the media. I'm telling you.
All right.
This is ridiculous. I'm trying to
have a video that Joe can cut here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to.
All right, ready? One, two, three.
Very serious radio program in 3, 2, 1. Kenny Caraway here for the handoff. Nice. On the Insiders, we are sponsored by Jiffy Lube, Jesse Tapia, in for James Hamm today. I'm Kyle Madsen, the world's number one Knicks fan. Excuse me, Knicks supporter.
Yeah.
Kenny Caraway in the building. We're talking about which players benefit the most from an NBA title this year. We're in Minnesota.
Okay.
Anthony Edwards, does he become the guy in the NBA if Minnesota wins the championship this year?
100%, whether he likes it or not.
Yeah, he's front of the line. Like Kenny said, whether he likes it or not, he's front of the line, face of the NBA, all that. He's kind of been waiting for this.
In that series, lost in the post-series analysis with Minnesota and Golden State and all the well, Steph was healthy, blah, 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 blah. Ant did such a great job in that series of just picking his spots where second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, he just went, all right, we're not losing tonight. Mm. Regardless of who the opponent is, forget that for a second. They came out, they were down three at the half, two or three at the half in game four.
Down two after his three. Yeah.
After he knocked down a 31-footer. With two hands in his face.
Just mixed Gary Payton real quick. Gary Payton, he can lock up.
He can go a little bit. So hits that big three and then comes out and halfway through the third quarter has 14 points and Minnesota's up 20. He didn't average 40 a night, but whenever they needed him, he just went, all right, like picked his spot perfectly, didn't do too much, just really kind of showed that growth of he's here. Mm-hmm. He has arrived as the guy.
We talked about like Tyrese earlier, needing to get like 25 a game, blah blah blah. Show he's a guy. Like Ant doesn't need to get 30 a game. I don't think he just needs to win at this point, that's enough for him.
Yeah. Well, they won't win if he's not giving you 25 to 30 a night.
Yeah.
He's the biggest star left in here. That doesn't mean he's the best player. I know Jokic is still around. SGA's going to win MVP. All this other stuff, but the biggest star, is Anthony Edwards. Mm-hmm. And really what you could get, like if you get this type of series, this type of NBA finals, is you may get I hate to say this, but this is how it'll be covered. You can get the good versus evil.
Mm-hmm.
The goody two shoes of Tyrese Halliburton going up against the immaturity in some people's eyes of Anthony Edwards. And it'll be good versus evil. And you might be able to get something like that. But he's the star. I'm not like Ant said he don't want it. I believe him. I don't think he wants it. But he's there whether he likes it or not.
He doesn't want to be the face, but he's not gonna shy away from it either. If you put the camera in front of his face, he's gonna be everything that you want him to be and all that.
The whole face of the NBA conversation.
Yeah.
You're gonna be the face so when people gravitate to you and people just gravitate naturally towards Anthony Edwards.
Because you think of Anthony Edwards, it's like his game.
Organic.
That's it.
When he was in the movie with Adam Sandler and stuff like that. Like, he's a star now, and it's just waiting for the ring, I guess, to put him just face in front of everyone.
Yeah, he says he doesn't want it. It's like, there's no campaign for this. There's not going to be a vote, bro. You're it. Sorry.
That's what being a star is.
That's it.
It's just organically people gravitate to you like you talked about, Kyle. In a lot of sense, you don't have no say over it. Because there's a lot of people, entertainers, musicians, basketball players, who fit the bill, and they're like, yeah, you're a star, but people don't really care about them one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who they do. Like Russell Westbrook, for a number of different reasons or whatever reason, people feel some type of way about Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. They either love him or they can't stand him. Mm-hmm. That's not anything. I don't think Russell Westbrook has cared about that, but it's just something organically that he gives off that makes people react and make people feel. And Anthony Edwards has that.
The other thing with Minnesota, one, Rudy Gobert would get a ring, which is just a add that to his resume. I don't know that he needs it at this point to be like a Hall of Famer, but
I got a little bit of an epiphany about Rudy Gobert, and I'm gonna share it on the show. I don't know when it's gonna happen, but yeah,
you want to? Okay, is that a tease? Because I got another couple things we got to get to, and we got
a
couple
tease.
Minutes.
It's a tease.
All right, that's a tease. Stay locked in to D'Lo and KC for Kenny's epiphany on Rudy Gobert.
Wow.
The other thing, I don't want to gloss over this before we get to Denver. I don't want to gloss over. Julius Randle has been unbelievable.
He's been really good.
Yeah.
He's been so freaking good. And he's a player who to me was that's a good stats, bad team guy. Like, mm-hmm. I'm never going to. And he was awesome in a 5-game series win against the Lakers, and the Warriors couldn't guard him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's been outstanding.
Yeah, he has been. He's elevated his game and his profile.
Mm-hmm. Does the ring just make him solidified as like he can be a number two now?
Yeah.
Like people just believe it now.
He might get paid like a one.
Well, maybe. He's up for a deal now, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that might be a mistake, but
I think that's
get
your
money.
Yeah, but I think that's how teams are gonna view him. If he wins a ring and he's averaging 24 and 8 and 7 or whatever he's at right now, he's been really good.
Yeah.
This is why people get fired. But,
facts. Last one with Denver. You mentioned Jokic the other day on D'Lo and KC might be on his way to being a top 10 guy all time.
Mm-hmm.
Where does a second ring put him in that conversation?
It probably solidifies him as a top 10 player.
I think I agree.
Really?
Yeah.
He just needs the two to get in?
Yeah, you got to have multiple because remember, I got Kevin Durant there.
So you'd put him above KD? Because wasn't KD kind of last in line on that list?
I think off the top of my head, I think KD was 9, Bird was 10, I believe.
I think you had Larry out.
Oof.
Because I know, you hated Larry Bird.
No, that's not true. Larry Bird, bad boy. But real quick, listen.
If you think Larry Bird is the 11th best NBA player ever, that's not like a bad thing.
Jordan, Bron. Will
Magic,
Kareem,
Kobe,
Steph,
Shaq.
That's 8 right there. KD,
and Bird.
Bird, okay. Yeah, there's a 10 right there. Yeah. I think I'd put Jokic top 20 at minimum if he got another ring.
Okay.
Mm.
I've never made a list, so I'm just kind of going off vibes.
I have this
to me,
fake,
it's comfortably top.
I have 10. This fake list that lives in my mind. So I am top 20.
Yeah.
I know KD. KD's there.
Who's 11 to 19?
Does the second one?
No clue. He's top 20. He could be 15 for all I know.
Hey, real quick. Does a second one do anything for Jamal Murray?
Not really.
No.
Doesn't put him in that weird.
Not if he's getting
role player Hall of Famer.
22 on any given night.
He's probably like Chris Bosh, Joe Dumars. Thinking of guys like that, Paul Gasol was a little better than him.
Yeah.
But if I told you Derek White or Jamal Murray becomes a Hall of Famer with a second ring, who would you pick?
Jamal Murray. I think Jamal Murray's better, but Derek White, I have done a 180 on it. Once he went bald,
he started.
I'll take Derek
the
White. I'm Derek White, number one fan club. Yeah,
I love that for you. Yeah. All right, D'Lo and Casey's going to start super late because we went way over, but I was having too much fun. Right. Damian Barling with Kenny Caraway coming up next. Jesse Tapia will be producing that program. For Joe Brazil, Jesse Tapia, thank you so much for hanging out. For James Hamm the last couple of days, I'm Kyle Madsen. We will be back Monday at 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320. D'Lo and KC is next. Until Monday at 10, drink water, be nice people. See you.